Hey y'all, what's up? I'm Simone Rose, and you're listening to the Notebooks and Coffee podcast, where we talk about real life and your mental health. As you know, I am not a licensed therapist. However, each week I get on here and I share my stories with you all in hopes that I can encourage at least one of you to share yours. That being said, grab your cups and let's talk about it. So, in continuing on with our Raising Superhumans series, I have Miss Suzanne Gilchrist here. She's going to share a different story with you all. I know we've been following autism the last couple of weeks, but this story hits a little different. And as I stated before, it may get a little heavy for you. Feel free to listen to the playback if you can't handle it all at once. Miss Suzanne, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. So tell me a little bit about yourself and tell me about your story. Like, what's it like raising a superhuman?
Well, first of all, I think raising a superhuman is a blessing. And I think that God definitely chooses special people to raise special people. You know, and I say that now, but I don't know that that was always my thought process. So I've matured in my thinking when it comes to raising a superhuman. Don't mean to keep going? I'm sorry. Okay, so I'm a school teacher. I've been teaching now for 25 years. Education that long. And the reason that I got into education was because I started out trying to just negotiate the special education maze for my children. And that's how I ended up being a school teacher. I have three sons. My oldest is 28. I have a 26-year-old and then my 24-year-old son that has Down syndrome.
Is that who's giving us the concert in the background?
He's doing his best Usher impersonation right now.
I'm
So
here for it. Y'all getting the concert and the interview all at the same time today.
you know, we can pay, you know, we'll take tips. We'll take. But anyway, Nathaniel was a 25-year-old adult with Down syndrome. And he when I was pregnant with Nathaniel, I did not know that he was going to be born with a disability. When I was pregnant with him, they did what they call the fetal alpha protein test. And that test kind of tells you that there may be something, but they don't exactly identify what that may be. But for a lot of women, can cause you to kind of want to not, you know, go on with your pregnancy when you hear those things. So, you know, but for me, an abortion wasn't an option. So I suggest, you know, continue with my pregnancy, enjoy my pregnancy, enjoy all the things that pregnancy can bring to you. And then when the baby came, you know, I was going to face whatever I was going to face then. So I did that. You know, I didn't go through with any other tests. They wanted me to do an episiotomy so that they could find out whether or not, you know, he was going to be born with Down syndrome. And, you know, I struggled with the idea of, you know, if you did find out, what are you going to do? What are your options? Right? Because I think for some people or for some women, that will already cause you to reject your child. You know, think that your child, if you're not equipped to handle, you know, what that may or may not bring, you know. So that wasn't an option. I went through the pregnancy and when I was when you know when it came time for me to give birth, I'm in the hospital like normal. Everything was a normal birth, normal. I mean, as a matter of fact, he's probably my easiest delivery. I had children, and Nathaniel was my easiest delivery. And but when after he was born, you know, you're laying there and you're excited, you have this baby, and the nurses kind of just took him and they wrapped him up and they took him away. I didn't even get to see him. So at that point, I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know if he was not breathing. I didn't know if, you know, he was deceased. I didn't know what was happening. Nobody said anything to me. And it seemed like forever. I think it was probably like maybe about 4 hours, but it seemed like 24 hours. I mean, that was the longest 4 hours of my life. Remember the doctors, he was born at Children's Hospital. Well, he was born at Washington Hospital Center, which is next door to Children's Hospital. It's a teaching hospital. If you know, it's a teaching hospital. So I remember the doctors coming back in and telling my husband and I that, you know, Nathaniel was born with Down syndrome. And I really didn't know what Down syndrome was at the time. I just remember a show that used to come on television called Life Goes On. And there was a young man on that show that had Down syndrome. And so I associated what I knew about Down syndrome with this particular kid, because I'm thinking, well, it can't be that bad, because he, you know, he's an actor and he can remember his lines, and, you know, he was successful. So I didn't, you know, I didn't really understand the magnitude of his disability. And I remember kind of laying there kind of in shock, you know, after you have a baby, it's supposed to be like one of the most joyous times of your life. But I just remember laying there in shock thinking, you know, what does this really mean? You know, what does it mean? And, you know, the doctors give you no hope. You know, they come in and they tell you the absolute worst. And what we were told was that he wasn't going to walk, he wasn't going to talk, and I would probably have to care for him for the rest of his life. As you can hear, he's talking.
He's having a whole concert. He ain't even thinking about you or nothing else going on in
exactly. But this is not the this is not the person that they gave me the picture of, of, you know, at that time, you know. And so, you know, fortunately for me, I had I have a spiritual foundation. You know, and so I always believe that, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. So, you know, no matter what was going on with my son, it was this is what God made. And so my job, you know, as a mother, was just to take care of God's creation.
You know, so just you ever feel like, because we often hear God gives his strongest battles or toughest battles to his strongest warriors. Did you ever feel like at some point, this ain't it? Like, I'm not that strong, because I feel like that and I don't have kids.
Absolutely. Because I remember, you know, as a mother, you start to nurture right away. Right. That's just what you do. But I remember my husband was not on board at all. And for the first 4 months of my son's life, he didn't touch him. He didn't go into the room. He didn't change a diaper. He didn't even put his hands on him. So imagine that being your reality every day for 4 months, you know. And so I felt completely alone as a mother. I had two other children, and, you know, I had this special child whom I was solely responsible for caring for. And so you think about all of the mental health issues that you can imagine. You know, just feeling, you know, completely left abandoned, you know, embarrassed and ashamed, because this is the way your husband is treating your child. When your family comes over, they're like, well, you know, what's wrong with him? So, and you're left to answer all of the questions. You know, I had to answer the questions about Down syndrome. I had to answer the questions about why my husband was behaving the way he was behaving. And then I had to answer all the, you know, all the other questions. So I felt crushed, you know, because I
hit him differently. Men tend to, and we talked a little bit about it offline. You guys will hear more about that story at a later date. Like, my brother-in-law was kind of the same way. And it's weird to them, because you, I guess they don't get to follow through with their envisions of like wanting to play football, wanting to play basketball or play baseball. God forbid, baseball is a terrible sport. It's just long for no reason. But like they don't get to, like, you know, do the boy stuff. I have a sister, a younger sister, who has a son with autism, and we talked about that last week, so I get it. But how, mentally, like, having to deal with all of that, like, how did you cope? Because that's a lot to handle, even if you are God-fearing and your faith is on 1,000. Like, how do you keep up with that? Because, like, hearing him in the background now, like, having this full-blown concert, like, he didn't switch to three different people. He went from Soulja Boy to Usher, and I heard him say 2 Chainz. Okay, so he done went from Soulja Boy, Usher, 2 Chainz. Now he on Earth, Wind & Fire. Like, that baby moving.
Yeah, yes. You know, I mean, before we're on offline, we talked a little bit about just mental health and that aspect of it. And I do believe, you know, I know now, because you see things clear, you know, hindsight is 2020, that there was a dark place that I went to. And it wasn't, you know, I mean, I functioned in that place because I had to function for my children, but I was an happy young mother, if that makes sense. And so you just kind of, I was going through the motions of parenting my children, but I wasn't feeding what I needed for myself. Mm-hmm. So you know how when you have children, or if you have something that occupies your time, you can hide and mask, mm-hmm. you know, your brokenness because you're just so busy doing other things. So then it was in those quiet moments where I was alone, or the children were asleep, or, you know, my husband worked at night. So I was home alone a lot at night. Mm-hmm. I just cried. I mean, I remember spending like at least the first 3 years of my son's life just sobbing, mm-hmm. you know, in my quiet spaces, not in front of family or friends, just in my quiet spaces. And I think, you know, I just never wanted my family to think that I never wanted them to think that I didn't love my son. And I felt like if they knew that that's what I was going through at night by myself, mm-hmm. they would automatically assume, you know, that it's because I had this child with a disability. You know what I mean? And part of it was just understanding and grappling with that, because you said something key earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a child that's born with a disability, you know, before you have that baby, in your mind, you start decorating the baby room, right? And you start buying all of these things that you want in this baby room. And you start imagining, you know, if it's your daughter, you're thinking about, you know, I know I have friends who have daughters that are not pregnant with girls, and they start thinking about their wedding day and what that's going to be like. And, you know,
my whole baby shower in 10 weeks. Yes.
you do. You start to, you know, because I had, you know, two other boys, I had all kind of boy stuff. But I did, you know, want to get special things for this particular baby. But, you know, and then you mourn. It's almost like a death, right? Mm-hmm. And you just feel like, you know, that dream, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, no matter how cute people say your baby is, and oh, he's so adorable, and everybody, you know, in your living where you live, and where you hold on to your dreams, it's just there's a death. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times women who have babies with disabilities, we don't give ourselves an opportunity to mourn mm-hmm. that loss, and we don't feel like it's okay to mourn that loss. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where the mental health issues come in, because you know, you had a baby, so you could be going through postpartum depression, right? Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you have this enormous responsibility. And that's where I was pinned up in. You know, I got my two other kids I got to take care of. I got this baby who has all of these needs. He had physical therapy and occupational therapy, and I had to go back and forth to the hospital. And mind you, we were living in DC. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a car. Snow was up to my neck. I'm standing mm-hmm. at the stop with two children in a stroller and a baby. And, you know, so, and again, my husband was not supporting me. So I was doing all this by myself. Mm-hmm. And so I do believe that I fell into this deep, dark depression that only I, you know, knew about.
So how did you, for lack of better words, how did you pull yourself out of it? Like what prompted the shift? Like, I can't stay here forever.
Mm-hmm. The honestly, the thing that helped me was talking to other women that were in the same situation that I was in. Mm-hmm. Talking to other mothers of children with disabilities. It didn't necessarily have to be Down syndrome. It was just being able to have somebody that was living my experience. Mm-hmm. Because so many times when you go to the playground, right? And you have your kids, and then you see all these women with these beautiful children, and they're all running around and they're healthy, and you have the baby, you're the one with the baby, right? That just can't do anything. And then people come over and be like, oh, he's so adorable, he's so cute. And in my heart, I want what you got. Mm-hmm. And I know that you don't want what I have.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no way you're sitting there going, oh, I wish I had a baby with Down syndrome. Right. But I wish I had a child that was like yours, you know, that's running around and talking and had socializing and doing those things. But mm-hmm. it was the idea of getting with other women mm-hmm. in similar situations and being able to just be honest about, you know what, I'm mad about it. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy. I'm mad that this is my reality. I'm mad that I have this child, you know, being able to say that and not be judged.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to say that. You know what I mean?
You ain't supposed to say a lot of stuff, but we do.
But I mean, that's what you're geared to think, right?
Yeah.
You want to do the politically correct thing. Oh, you know, I'm a spiritual minded person, and my foundation is in God. So this is great. And that's what, you know, you're conditioned to do, but that's not really how you really feel, right? You don't really feel that way. You really feel like, you know, God must really hate me because he gave me this baby that's not perfect.
Everybody says everything for a reason. And I'm like, that is not people's first reaction to everything. Sometimes you get mad. Like when something bad happens to you, your first reaction, I don't care who you are. If you say that this is how you think every time something bad happens or something doesn't go your way, everything for a reason. I tell people all the time, you will lie. Because that is not your first response at all.
It is not. But I mean, when you with this situation though, it's kind of your condition. You're conditioned to think that way. You're conditioned to speak that way. Mm-hmm. You know, because nobody expects you to just come out and say, I'm mad because I got this baby with Down syndrome. I have the son with autism, or, you know. Mm-hmm. But my husband was able to do that. And I felt like he wasn't judged or criticized. You know, I think women and men, you know, it was just so unfair. Just the idea that, you know, he was able to just be, you know, I'm not touching him. And everybody was kind of like rallying around him and trying to support him through that.
Did that for you.
Right. Because, you know, I'm nursing and I'm still, you know, she's okay.
She got it.
Yeah. We got to tend to him because he's the one that's really showing out. You know what I mean? But, but really it was just getting with other women and actually just listening to, you know what, this is what is happening with my life. Mm-hmm. You know, my husband has done the same thing and I'm struck, you know, that was what helped me to, you know what, I'm not alone. You know, this is not just my condition or my situation. There are other women that are in this same position and I can talk to them about it.
What lessons would you say you've learned along the way?
Oh, wow. we'd be on here for another 2 hours. We'd have to do a part two.
When I do my YouTube channel, it's going to be longer than this. I just haven't figured out how to do it yet, but it's coming. It's coming.
Okay. So, you know, and I'm 56 years old now. Okay. So when my son is 20,
I can see her. She look good.
I'm 56 years old. Just had a birthday, September 14th. But thank you. I've learned so many things. I mean, the first thing that I want to say is that Nathaniel saved my life. Mm. And I say that because there are so many things I think that I would have done that may have been counterproductive or detrimental to who I should have been. And God, you know, gave me this son. And I think it put me on a path a different way that I probably would have gone. Mm-hmm. Because of raising him. I would have never thought about being a teacher or going into education. That was the first thing. But one lesson that I learned and I share with so many people and so many younger women, you know, who are in the position that I was in then, is just take everything one day at a time. You know, really, because what you do when you have a baby is you jump from month one to month nine. You know what I mean? And you really don't allow yourself to just take the steps that as they come. And see what is going to happen along the way. I heard what my doctors told me from that day. And they were like, well, he's not going to walk. He's not going to talk. And I took that in and I internalized it. It was like, this is what they said. So this is what I'm going to get. And I remember my grandfather, who's an old sage, you know, man, he was, you know, raised me. And my grandfather was actually in the delivery room when I had all of my children. Mm-hmm. Grandfather is from the slavery generation. His mother was a slave and my grandfather's mother was a midwife. Mm-hmm. Grandfather felt like he needed to be in the delivery room. Mm-hmm. So that's weird, but okay. So, but I remember my grandfather came to me after Nathaniel was born and he said, it's just a baby. You got to feed it. You got to change it and you got to love it. That's all you have to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the thing, you know, for me, it's like, it's a baby. I got to change it. I got to feed it and I got to love it. Right. And as I grew with Nathaniel in my 5 minutes, as I grew with my understanding of Down syndrome and my own self-esteem about having this child, because what happens, your self-esteem gets crushed because you think you did something wrong. Mm-hmm. So I was able to grow in my self-esteem. I said, you know what, you get out of something what you put into it. Mm-hmm. And as you hear right now behind me,
the doctors told you wrong, because I done heard a whole nother artist now. He done popped up with somebody else.
And we have been able to inspire so many other people. You know, we have been able to inspire so many other people because he's taught me so much. I didn't teach him. Mm-hmm. He taught me.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that. Well, y'all, we're going to close this episode out. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch y'all next week.
Thank you, guys.